thank you. Does anybody else need a copy of the lesson? We got one or two left. All right, so as we started last week, Chris also had our first class, and we kind of put this format together, I guess, just a couple of weeks ago. So we hope it works well for everybody. Hope you like it. And hopefully if this goes well, where we kind of mix up the speakers each week, hopefully we'll be able to do something like maybe on an annual basis or every other year. Just kind of get more people involved with this class and leading the discussions, which is obviously a great experience for anybody. And as Brother Woolsey asked, if I'm teaching a class, like, no, I'm leading a discussion, like I always say when I'm up here. So I do have a lot of stuff for today's class. There's a lot of verses that we can cover. I've kind of narrowed it down a little bit to some of the topics I wanted to talk about. And then also, there's questions that can be mixed in kind of throughout the class, so I'll ask for you to jump in and help us out on those. So last week we talked about the divine nature and how we're all partakers of the divine nature. But what we're going to talk about today is kind of basically it's the foundation of what we're going to be studying for the rest of this quarter, for the most of it at least, and that's diligence. And if you look at the topics we'll be covering throughout the rest of this quarter, it's diligence is basically the basis of what we got to, in order to be successful in these other aspects, these characteristics, we have to have diligence. So what we're going to look at first is the giving of all diligence. So giving is this word right here. If whoever can pronounce this gets extra credit. Perius is something. So what that means is basically bringing in by the side of. So what it's talking about there is basically it's a this term indicates the comparative unimportance of man's participation in his salvation by suggesting that it is his part and merely contributory, if I can talk here, brought in by the side of what God does. And yet it is absolutely essential since God's part is done only on condition that man complies with his. So, like I said, with what we do in this earth, what we're doing on our time here on this earth, God's given us the guidance. But it's up to us to really to set it forth, to execute it here on earth, and to be the example to those around us with the characteristics that we're supposed to exemplify as Christians. In 2 Peter 1, verses 1 through 4, verses 2 through 4 basically instructs us that we are to follow as based on what God has already done. And as Peter mentioned, God has generously provided all things that pertain to life and godliness. So like I said, he set it forth. He's got it set up in the Bible for us. He teaches us how we're supposed to do it. It's just up to us to really to execute it. So that's just really showing how important it is for each of us as Christians to be the example that we have, to be the example that we're supposed to be to other people. So this is with the being the divine, partakers of the divine nature. And then, as I said, over the next few weeks, we'll be talking about how diligence works with virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. So next we get to the word actually that we're looking at is diligence, which is a Greek word for speed. It also means to put forth an energetic effort, earnestness in accomplishing, promoting, or striving after whatever it is that you're doing. And as Christians, we can't just sit around and just expect whatever we are given by God is supposed to just happen. It's up to us to actually put forth the effort and to give the diligence to be successful as Christians and to have the example and the leadership in what we're supposed to do. So let's look at some of the verses that actually, first of all, I wanted to basically talk about when I was really doing the research for diligence. I was looking at different topics, different characters, and so I got a few of them that I've added into this. But one thing that I did see, like if you look at Proverbs and you look at when the temple was being rebuilt, there are so many Ezra. There are so many verses in there that talk about just what was involved in building the temple. And it says in Ezra 5 and verse 8, it says, the work being carried on with diligence is making rapid progress under their direction. And I'm just taking basically parts of the verses. And in Ezra 6 and 12, I, Darius, have decreed it. Let it be carried out with diligence. Ezra 6 and verse 13. Then because of the decree of King Darius had sent, the governor of Trans-Euphrates and Shethar-Bozina and their associates carried it out with diligence. Ezra 7:21. They are to be provided with diligence whatever Ezra the priest, the teacher of the law of the God of heaven, may ask you. Ezra 7:23, whatever the God of heaven has prescribed, let it be done with diligence for the temple of the God of heaven. And then in 2 Chronicles 24, men in charge of the work were diligent. And then finally in Zechariah 6 and 15, those who are far off will come and help to build the temple of the Lord, and you will know what the Lord Almighty has sent me to you. This will happen if you diligently obey the Lord your God. So I just thought, I mean, as far as looking at the term itself, I mean, that just shows, I mean, the temple was such an important part of Christianity at that time, and just how they wanted to, everything that was done there was done diligently. Then if you go to, one of the references we talk about is diligence within the Bible. Anytime you look at diligence in the Bible, it's always used in a positive meaning. There's nothing in there, that at least nothing that I've seen or nothing in the context of what I've seen, that shows that the word diligence is used anything else besides being positively focused. And then if you look at what Christ did, we'll talk more about Jesus and some of his examples later on in this class, but Christ was, obviously, he was, everything he did was with diligence. And then I think this is something that might be brought out in the lesson itself. It says the lackadaisical way that some professing believers approach a relationship with God is reflected nowhere in the Bible. Instead, Jesus made it clear that those who wish to be his disciples must be all in Luke 9. Unless we diligently pursue righteousness and obedience, we will experience failure. The world is too appealing, temptation too abundant, and there are too many excuses for turning away. That's why Jesus emphasized that the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and strength. Our ultimate goal is to diligently love the Lord. And like I said, that's why we are, as Christians, the examples we're supposed to be. We have to do everything we can possibly do with diligence. So how do we do that? So how do we live a life of spiritual diligence? So I'm going to bring up some verses here. If you don't mind, some of you just kind of turn to those verses and read them for us, and then we'll... actually, I'll put them all up there so we can go ahead and have them ready. So if you can go, if someone can turn to each of these verses, I want to basically just go through some of the verses that just kind of tell us as Christians what we are supposed to do, how we're supposed to live our lives, what is our main purpose on this earth. And then we'll get into some of the examples that we have with some of the biblical characters, and then we'll finish off with just some more application stuff. So John 6, verse 27, whoever has that. All right. So what is that verse telling us?
The food is not, that does not help us for everlasting life. What helps you, what matters is being here and studying.
Having that spiritual focus in your life, right? I mean, the things of this world, I mean, it's like I said, it's going to spoil. It's going to decay. But for us, I mean, with our spiritual well-being, we have to make sure we are living towards that spiritual life, that spiritual purpose on earth. Okay, what about Romans 12 and verse 11? Who is it? Okay, so what does that verse tell us? Yeah, you got to maintain that spiritual fervor, right? That spiritual being, that spiritual guidance, that spiritual being that we have on this earth. Okay, what about 2 Corinthians 7:1?
Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God.
All right, so how do we do this? What does that verse tell us we should do?
Yeah, get rid of anything that's not going to promote your spiritual walk.
Yeah, I mean... That's probably, I mean, it's obviously a big challenge for everybody these days. I mean, we get so caught up in the things of the world. We get caught up with our jobs and just our hobbies and everything else that's going on. And yet, we got to make sure that these things aren't getting in the way of our spiritual focus. And the diligence that we have with this spiritual focus is required based upon, I mean, what's the priority in our lives. How about Philippians 2:12?
So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
All right. Then there's also one other verse I was going to bring out on this, and I didn't put it on here. It was just 2 Peter 1:10 and 11, which I actually have right here. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So both of these verses together, what does it tell us to do? How are we supposed to basically secure our salvation? What kind of effort, basically, is it telling us? Yeah, and it also says with fear and trembling, right? I mean, you have to know there's something at stake, basically, if we're not to do what we're commanded to do in both these verses. So, all right, and then 1 Timothy 4. I actually have one. Actually, I want to cover like a lot of these verses. I actually want to do 1 through 16. So whoever was going to do this, I apologize. If you could read 1 Timothy 4, actually 1 through 16, please. Stephen, you got it?
Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons, for the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared, who forbid marriage and require abstinence from foods that God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is made holy by the word of God and prayer. If you put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed. Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. For to this end we toil and strive, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. Command and teach these things. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things, immerse yourself in them, so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing, you will save both yourself and your hearers.
Okay, thank you. And I know that was a lot right there, but there's actually quite a few verses. The book, I think, brought out just verses 7 and 8, which says, having nothing to do with godliness, myths, and old wives' tales, rather train yourselves to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has values of all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. Which I think is very, obviously, some of the main verse in this, but I think some of the things we need to pull out of that as well is if you look at some of the earlier verses, it talks about being diligent to include identifying false teachings, avoiding myths and fruitless discussions, examples of being believers in speech and conduct and love and faith and purity, devoting himself to the public reading of Scripture. I mean, building ourselves up. It's something we all have to be doing on a constant basis. It's not like we just we're baptized and all of a sudden we gain all the knowledge we need. I mean, this is something that we all need to work on. And I know obviously it's something I got to work on a lot myself. Just being able to put those priorities in place and making sure we're building ourselves up so we can have that that knowledge and that understanding that helps us to be the examples we need to be. And that takes diligence. And then finally, Hebrews 6, verses 11 through 12.
And we desire each one of you to show the same earnestness, to have the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who do faith and patience in the promises.
All right, so as we've talked about earlier, I mean, we can't be lazy in what we're doing. It can't be like his version says sluggish in learning and gaining that knowledge and producing the faith that we're supposed to have. So I think all these kind of give us a, like I said, just a quick little guidance as to how we're supposed to live our lives, how we're supposed to be the spiritual examples we are to be to those around us. And I think if we have that diligence, if we have that purpose in our life to really do these things, I mean, that's going to help us be successful and be able to obtain the goal that we're all here to accomplish. So something else I want to bring up was just some of the other examples of diligence that we see in the Bible. So in Proverbs, there's actually a number of verses in Proverbs that talk about diligence and how we're supposed to basically live our lives and so forth. And in Proverbs 12, verse 27, it talks about how God really, he prizes diligence. It says, diligence is man's precious possession. Something that we should all hope to acquire is to have the diligence. Proverbs 21, verse 5, it says, the plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty. And I think this, and we'll talk about this a little bit more later on, but this kind of goes with what we've talked about just in, not just our spiritual well-being, but also just in our everyday lives, with our jobs and so forth, putting forth that diligence to be successful, to have what we need to be able to provide for our families. Then in Proverbs 4 and 23, it says we're supposed to guard our hearts with diligence because everything we do flows from the heart. If we are not diligent to guard against falsehood, evil thoughts, lustful desires, our Satan and standing by to take advantage, diligence implies an intentional action of guarding our hearts rather than a passive acceptance of everything that enters. And then if you look at 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5 through 6, it gives an example of how to guard our hearts by taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And an example is like when a guard is guarding a fortress. He's diligent in guarding it with his heart and his mind. And I think that's something we've got to also do is have that the protection of our hearts with the diligence that we are supposed to exemplify. So let's look at some of the verses that we have here. So Proverbs 8 and verse 17, Proverbs 10:4. If someone can turn to each of these verses too, we'll read these and kind of take some applications from these as well. Proverbs 8 and verse 17, whoever has that. All right. Those who love me and those who seek me diligently will find me. So that's basically, that's what wisdom is, right? I mean, this is basically our example of how we're supposed to basically acquire the wisdom that we need. What about Proverbs 10 and verse 4?
Slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich.
Yeah, so it says God will bless whatever you do and give you advantage if you're faithful and diligent. So this is the example I've talked about with like our business lives and being a student, being an athlete or whatever it takes. I mean, I know some of you know I ran a race this past weekend and I got beat by a couple hundred people, I think. And it was probably all because they had a little more diligence in their training than me or they were half my age. But there was an effort that was put forth there to accomplish that goal. And it takes effort in everything we do to be able to accomplish whatever goals we have. All right, Proverbs 12, verse 24.
The hand of the diligent will rule, but the slack hand will be put to forced labor.
Yeah, so man who is diligent will always be the boss of one who is not. I mean, you look at the work environment. You look at people that are within your organization and so forth, who are the ones that really get promoted? Who are the ones that get these higher positions? It's usually those who are diligent in what they're doing. They're working hard. They're showing that they're looking to take that next step in their progression of their jobs, right? It's not somebody who's just going to sit around just do whatever needs to be done or somebody that's just going to try to skim through whatever they can in each of the projects they have. I mean, it's those who are willing to put the effort are going to be the ones that are going to be rewarded. And then in Luke 16, verse 10, and applying with this, it says, He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. So once again, you go towards that spiritual application for us and how we're to how faithful we are to be. All right, Proverbs 13, verse 4. Yeah, so this proverb, it contrasts diligence with the lazy and shows that diligent people have planned ahead, they've saved, they've worked to provide for their needs. In contrast, the lazy or non-diligent, they never have enough because they don't see a job through the end. They quit. They do a poor job. They just don't really care. They have they don't have the intelligence or whatever it is that needs to be had to be successful. So, the soul of a lazy man is very dangerous. I mean, we talk about how we're told to basically, and we can't be half-hearted in what we're doing here at this as Christians, right? We can't do anything half-heartedly. We have to be, as we talked about earlier, all in. And so I think that's very important for us to keep in mind when we get into the busy times of our lives. Proverbs 27 to 23, the last verse here.
Know well the condition of your flocks and give attention to your herds.
All right. I think this kind of goes with another example we'll have later on with David. You think about what he did and how he was so diligent in taking care of the sheep and making sure they were being taken care of when he was away. This is something for all of us and even for the elders. I mean, we talk about the church and just how we're supposed, the elders are supposed to watch over the flock and make sure everybody's being taken care of and been basically staying on course as it is. All right, next we'll look at diligently obey and seek God. There's a lot of verses here, I know, but I'm going to kind of go through this one hopefully a little quickly here. But it says, God demands diligence. And in Deuteronomy 6 and verse 17, it says, you shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God. I think that right there is pretty important for us to keep in mind. I mean, God's telling us this, that it's our job to keep his commandments, and we have to do it in a way that shows that we are following him and also doing it in a manner that's pleasing in his sight. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 1, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. I think I had some, some of these on there. Hebrews 11 and verse 6 shows God takes diligence seriously, and it says, he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. God can see who is serious about seeking him. We are to strive for the goals that he has set for us. And a lot of this stuff, there's a lot of repetitive stuff in this, but I think these verses, it just kind of shows you, like throughout the Bible, there's so many verses that kind of tell us how we're supposed to represent ourselves as Christians as far as following what he's commanded us to do. And then in Matthew 6, verse 33, we are to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Like I said, this is something that, I mean, this is basically the foundation of what we're supposed to be as Christians. So, some of the examples that I looked at, man, time goes by fast. So Joseph, you think about Joseph as a young man and what all he went through, being sold and being taken in with Potiphar and so forth. And you got to think about it, he had diligence. I mean, he had to be, because basically he did whatever he was told to and gained the trust to be able to get to the position that he got to, right? I mean, he became a leader in that land, and it's because of his diligence and his willingness to follow the commandments and the things that he was told to do and directed to do. So, I mean, Potiphar was telling him all these things, and yet, even though he was technically I'm a slave to him, he did that work because he knew it was in his best interest. And we talked about David, the example that he was. I mean, obviously, taking care of the sheep, and also just wanting to make sure they were all being protected. So even when he was away, he'd make sure it was covered, and he showed diligence as far as his trust in what he was doing. Solomon, he gives us a good example in Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10, saying, whatever your hands find to do, do it with your might. And that's something we got to keep in mind with everything we do. Like I said, we can't do anything half-heartedly or in a lazy manner. We have to do it with all of our might. So, and then Jesus, obviously, I mean, in the next slide here, we'll get into even more detail, but everything Jesus did was with diligence. I mean, you had to, in order to have the life that he had on this earth and to be the example that he had, that he was, he had to have diligence. Otherwise, he wouldn't have made it through the way he did, and with all the temptations and all the different challenges and stuff he faced. In Matthew 24 and verse 46, Jesus tells us, blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. And so Jesus expects responsibility and conscientiousness from us. And then in Luke 16, verse 12. And if you have not, if you've not been faithful in what is another man's, who will you? Let me read this again. And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much, and he who is unjust, we've already read this, is in what is least is unjust also as much. So he's showing just the responsibility and the seriousness of what all we are supposed to do. And I want to get to a little bit more as far as what Jesus showed as far as his diligence. So if we can turn to these verses here, Luke 2 and verse 49. These are all examples, like I said, this is Jesus young and old, and just how he represented the what diligence is. Luke 2 and verse 49, please.
He said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?"
All right, so yeah, this is when he was obviously very young, and his parents were looking for him, and he was in there listening to the men teach, and he was asking them questions. I mean, obviously, he had at that early age, he had that understanding of what he needed to do. And to be there and to participate in these discussions and to hear more about what it was that he was basically eventually be teaching to all those around him. Mark 1 and verse 38.
But he said to them, "Let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth."
Yeah, he wanted to teach everybody. So he had that diligence to go out and teach as many people as possible. He always wanted to go to where's the next place I need to go? So what is the next town? John 4 and verse 34, and then John 9:4.
Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work."
And then verse 9 and verse 4 says, "As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work." So obviously he understands how time is the essence. I mean, we have to do things now. We can't wait until down the road. We'll take care of things later on. This is something that we have to do now while we have the opportunity. And then Matthew 18, verse 11 through 14. So what, as a good shepherd, what are we supposed to do? What's a good shepherd supposed to do?
Be diligent in looking for taking care of the sheep.
Absolutely. Yeah, so if one goes away, having that diligence to go out and help them, help find them, help bring them back. Luke 19 and verse 10. So it was continuous work, right? Like I said, he was constantly looking to teach. He constantly wanted to go to the next land to teach whoever it was. I mean, he was someone who was, that's what he had to do. I mean, he wanted to make sure that everybody understood what it took for them to have salvation. All right, so these next ones we'll have a little, I would say more discussion, but I've got 9 minutes here. So we'll kind of go through this quickly here. So as Christians, we are basically, there's 5 things listed here that we should show in having diligence. And the first one is seeking God. And in Hebrews 11, verse 6, it says, "And without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." So who will God reward?
Those who seek him.
Those who seek him, right? Not just anybody. It'll be just those ones, just those who actually seek him. All right, maintaining unity with brethren. So seeking God, how do we do that? How else can we, just as an application perspective, how do we seek God?
Seeking diligence.
By doing what?
Study of the scripture.
Yeah, through study, right? Learning from examples that were given in the Bible, learning from others who are more knowledgeable than us maybe. We're constantly looking to build ourselves up. All right, maintaining unity with brethren. In Ephesians 4, verse 1 through 3, a part of it says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. So who's responsible for unity within this church?
Everybody, really.
Yeah, it's all of us, right? We're all responsible for the unity in here. So, and that's actually the little question. I was like, is this just the elders' job? No, it's not. It's for all of us. I mean, and it definitely makes their lives easier, I'm sure, if we all do our part to keep that unity. All right, obtaining a knowledge of God's word, similar to the seeking God, but in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, it says, do your best to present yourselves to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, and one who who correctly handles the word of truth. So how does a Christian obtain a working knowledge of God's word? We've talked about this already. Obviously, constantly studying and understanding what we're supposed to do. In Hebrews 5 and verse 12 through 14, which is also a part of this, it says, in fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. And this comes from understanding. It comes from our own studying. I mean, it comes from, like I said, we can't be on milk at all times. We have to make sure we have that understanding, we have that knowledge to be able to have that solid food so we can, not only just for our own well-being, but also to help those who are around us. I mean, when people come to ask us questions or they come to look to us for an example, we have to be able to provide for them whatever it is, the answer they need. Developing our character, in 2 Peter 1, verse 5 through 7, it says, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, and perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. And this verse, obviously, we'll be getting into a lot more detail in the following weeks with each of these topics being discussed. But I'll skip that for right now. I'm running out of time. Number five, entering our eternal rest. Hebrews 4 and verse 11 says, let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. So how do we get that eternal rest? You're kidding me. All right. Let me go to... So let me get to these final, this is really the last slide, but I want to get to this. So we talk about diligent people will expend tremendous effort to accomplish their goals. This is the attitude that God expects of us in everything we do. Like I said, we've kind of reiterated this throughout the entire lesson, but God expects us to have diligence in all we do, whether it's not only just spiritually, but also in other aspects of our life too. I mean, we can't be lazy in our jobs. We got to be able to provide for our families. We can't be... with mental challenges and so forth, we have to have that diligence to make it through and to gain the understanding that we need. Jesus tells us, just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them in Luke 6. And I think this is something that we also have to understand too, is whenever we face these different situations with other people, we have to understand, we have to also look at the other perspective too, right? Making sure that like in the work environment, if we want to have successful people for us, we got to make sure we also are working hard. And hopefully that makes sense. But you want basically for people to do to you what you're going to provide for them. So that's why, for your employer, you have to give your best effort. In Revelations 2 and verse 10, it says, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. So that's really our ultimate goal, right? We are to be faithful. Everything that we're going to be talking about over the next 10 weeks or so, we have to do all that stuff with diligence. And if we don't do that, we're failing short of what we're supposed to be doing as Christians, right? So what does God expect from every Christian? In 2 Peter 3 and verse 18, it says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. We got to constantly be, I keep saying this over and over and over, but that's really the purpose of the diligence that we're talking about here is continuously developing ourselves, continuously to gain the knowledge, to grow in what we're doing, and to be the examples we're supposed to be as Christians. And I think as we dive more into some of the other topics that we'll be getting into, we got to understand that it's the diligence that we have in it that's gonna help us to be successful in each of these characteristics. And then some other things I want to bring out is just there's something here that I thought was pretty interesting. It says, the old belief that God will accept you as you are is simply not true. God will not accept just anybody into his family, but those who respond to his calling and choose to diligently follow him. Which kind of goes with what we're talking about now. So we just got like a minute left. The last thing I want to bring out here is, like I said, God rewards the diligent. He's gonna basically provide for those of us who do follow what we're supposed to be doing in a way that's diligent and keeping the attitude we're supposed to have and with the examples we're supposed to have, not only in, like I said, our every aspect of life, our mental life, our physical life, especially our spiritual life as well. In Revelations 2:10, it says basically, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. So that is our ultimate goal, right? I keep with this topic, I keep wanting to say the same thing over and over and over, but that's just the way it is. But there are so many different examples in the Bible, and I had a list of about 12 other ones that I wasn't going to get into, but if we had time, we were going to kind of talk about some of them. But I think over the next like 10 weeks or so, I hope you really take a look at just what the topics are. Like I said, we got faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. And I think if we really dive into each of these topics and look at what each of these are really telling us to do and seeing how we can improve our lives in each of these topics, I think we'll all take this quarter, and it'll be beneficial for all of us in helping us grow as Christians. So I think my time's up. Calvin, yes.
Right.
Jesus Christ. Yeah.
But you're exactly right. But we've got to put this first.
Right.
And I worry about that in my own. Do I spend more time studying, or do I want to spend more time at work? A lot more time at work.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
The stronger we are, the more we study and do these things that these verses have said, the easier it will be to resist temptation.
Yeah, like I said, there's so many verses we could look at. Like I said, I tried to bring it down a little bit, but yeah, it's. I mean, if we really dive into a lot of these verses, I mean, it really wakes us up as to. I mean, like you said, I mean, just where is our priority? What are we really setting in our life as the main thing? And I think all of us could probably do some improving in that. I know I can. All right. Anything else? All right. Thank you very much.